Proverbs chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 20 through 22. Remember that this is Solomon speaking to his children, to his son, but we understand that this is more than just Solomon's word. This is actually God's word. This is God's wisdom. God gave Solomon this wisdom. If you remember when Solomon first began to rule in Israel, and God came to him one night and he said, "You ask me for anything that you want and I'm going to give it to you." And Solomon didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask selfishly. You know, he didn't ask for things that he wanted for himself. Rather, he asked for the wisdom and understanding and the knowledge. He said, "I am just a child, and I can't rule over these people without your help. Please give me help. Please give me an understanding heart. Please give me wisdom to know how to lead your people." So the wisdom that we're reading about here in Proverbs chapter 4, one of the wisdom literature books, is the wisdom of God. It's not just Solomon's word for his son. This is God's word for all of his sons and daughters. And so, as I shared with you before, you stick your name right there at the beginning of verse 20, okay? And I would read it this way. It would say to me, "Ken, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their body." Father, I pray that as we take one last look at this passage and some other scriptures here today, that you would help me to share what is truly in my heart about our journey, what you've done for us, and how I know you can do it again, and how I know you will do it for all of us who will seek after you with all of our heart. Open the eyes of our understanding today, Lord. Teach us truth from the scriptures, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So the whole point of the study here now has been, notice again, "My son, give attention to my words." The whole point of our study is to get us to focus on the Word of God and understand the value of it, understand the significance of it, understand the power that is in it, so that we'll make that Word the priority of our life. Our goal here, our hope, is that by sharing these messages, we can create a desired end of hunger for the Word of God in our lives. Because when we do that, and when we begin to hunger for the Word, and we make the Word of God a priority in our lives, God will begin to speak to our lives, and our lives will be changed for the better, never to be the same again. I shared a little bit about our personal testimony. Been 45 years ago now since God put a hunger in our heart for the Word of God. And we began to read the Bible, and we began to study. And listen, we've talked about it, and don't want to overemphasize this, but it's important for us to understand. In Bible reading, the goal of Bible reading is not just to get through the Bible. Okay? The goal of Bible reading is to get the Word into our heart. Get the Word into our heart so that it becomes a part of our lives, so that we begin to live the way that God says to live in the Word of God. And when we make that a priority for our life, we put the Word of God first. We began to study the Bible, not just read it, but to study it and read passages over and over again. And as we talked about it last week, meditate on the passages of Scripture. See what God was really trying to say to us. And over 45 years ago, God began to speak to us through the scriptures and encourage our faith and our spiritual journey. And we began to see things in the Bible that God wanted us to do. And whatever we saw, we did our best to try to do what God said to do. And as we developed this kind of lifestyle of reading and studying and obeying the Word of God, our faith began to grow. We began to see God do things in our lives. We began to see the promises of God fulfilled in us. Look at what he says here just in these verses. He says in verse 22, the Word of God is life for those who find it. Life, the fullness of life, a God quality of life becomes ours when we make the Word of God a priority in our life. Not only that, he says, they are health to all of your body. There is life. There is peace. There is joy. There is hope. There's also healing for our, even for our bodies when we make the Word of God a priority. We looked at the third chapter there of Proverbs 3 and verse 1 and 2. And in verse 2, the promises are, he says, for length of days and years of life, not only that, but peace will be added to you when you make the Word of God your standard of living and the priority of your life. And our lives have never been the same. And we know that if God did these things for us, God will do these things for anybody. And again, this is how our whole ministry got started. Our whole ministry got started just because we saw God do things in our lives and we knew He could and would do them in anybody's life who would receive the Word of God and be obedient to what God was saying to do. So we looked at a couple of passages of Scripture for the last couple of weeks. We looked at Joshua chapter 1. Joshua, if you remember, became the leader of the nation of Israel after Moses' death. And God ordained him to lead the Israelites into the promised land. And God told Moses, God told Joshua, if you will feed your heart on my word, keep the law in your sight at all times, meditate on what I say in the word. God says, if you'll do this, you will have success. You will have prosperity. And I will bless everything you put your hand to do and every place your foot will go. I will give you that land, God told him. And so this great promise to him when he would obey the Lord and fill his heart with the Word of God and begin to live by it. We saw the same thing in Psalm 1, just confirmed it all for us. Blessed is the man who doesn't follow the counsel of the world, but rather makes the Word his delight and meditates on it day and night. He said that individual will be a fruitful tree that is bearing fruit constantly in life. Its leaf never withers. That speaks of eternal life. Every fall I have to rake up the leaves out of my backyard. Oh dear God. Why can't we just have evergreen trees everywhere so I don't have to rake these? You know? But he said the leaf will never wither. The leaf will never... That's a reference and a picture to eternal life. Whatever he does will prosper, he says. He'll be successful at whatever he does when he's following the commandments of the scriptures. But again, the key word there was to meditate the Word of God. Don't just race through your Bible to get to the end of it, but read it slowly and take small passages and maybe even just a few verses and think about them and linger over them and meditate on them and roll them over in your mind. Talk them over with the Holy Spirit. He's the author of this book. You got that, right? He inspired this book. These are His words. And when we sit down with the Holy Spirit, we're sitting down with the author of the Bible. And He can teach us and show us what was intended in every passage of Scripture and help us to grow in our faith as we make the Word of God a priority in our life. This morning, as I said, I want to finish up this short mini-series with you of messages. I want you to see the premium that God places on His Word. Okay? So I want you to go back to Psalm 138. Just one book to your left. And Psalm 138. It's a great psalm, just 8 short verses. This is a good place to start meditating right here. Right here in these verses of scripture. We're just going to look at verses 1 and 2, but my glance went right to verse 3. On the day I called, you answered me, the psalmist said. God is faithful. God listens for us. God answers our prayers. That's what that little short little verse is telling us there. Other things in this verse. I love verse 8. This is a verse of scripture. Verse 8 is a verse of scripture that just kind of helped me let go of things, particularly where the ministry is concerned. Verse 8 says, "The Lord will accomplish what concerns me." In other words, when God calls me to do something, yes, I have to cooperate with Him. I have to partner with Him. But when He calls me to do something, He is going to take the responsibility ultimately to see that that thing gets done. So that I don't have to go out and try to figure out how to do this and how to do that and all these kind of things. When God has called me to do something, I just need to listen to Him and do what He says to do step by step. Because whatever it is He's called me to do, He wants it accomplished, He wants it finished, and He's going to tell me everything needs to be done in the process. So that if I just listen to Him, if I just fellowship with Him and commune with Him, when it's time to take the next step, He'll tell me. I don't have to go to the next, and listen, there's nothing wrong with pastor's conferences, but I don't have to go to the next pastor's conference to try to learn how to grow a church. May talk more about that in a minute. I look at verses 1 and 2. Psalm 138, verse 1 and 2. I will give you thanks with all my heart. I will sing praises to you before the gods. I will bow down before your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For, look at the end of verse 2. For, and this translated, by the way, several different ways, and I will talk about it. For you have magnified your word according to all of your name. The old King James Bible, I believe, says you have magnified your word even above your name. Most modern translations will say something like, you have magnified above all your word and your name. Okay? Here's the thought. Here's what I want you to see in all that. How many of you know we talk about the Lord and we use this phrase? His is the name that is above all names. His name is exalted over all. Okay? With me on that? God's name is above all other names. And so we recognize that, of course, the name of God will speak of His character and all of these kinds of things. And it tells us that He is of the highest character, the highest integrity. A person's name represents their character. You know, when I say Ed Edmund, you think about a certain person. You think about the character, the integrity of the individual. You think about Ed, you see somebody up here, you know who he is. You hear Ken Pears, you think, yeah, maybe not quite so high down. But listen, we all want to have a good name, right? Talks about our character. And God's is above all names. What the verse of scripture is saying is, just as surely as His name is above all other names and stands for the highest standard of character and quality and integrity and all of that, He says, just as sure as His name is exalted above all, His word is also exalted above all. His word is exalted above all. In Numbers, the Bible says, that God is not a man that He should lie. Paul tells Titus, God cannot lie. The book of Hebrews tells us that it is impossible for God to lie. Where God's word is concerned, it is absolutely 100% flawless, 100% impeccable, 100% truth. God's word is above all. He's not like man. You're familiar with this phenomena. You can't always trust the word of men. In fact, there's some guys you can't believe anything they say. I don't know why I think about politics when I hear that. But anyway, he says, God's word is pure. God's word is absolute truth. And we can count on it. And we can rely on the word of God. Now, having said that and laid that foundation, I want to share with you to close this series today. I want to share with you five things that happen to us when we make the word of God the priority in our life. We put the word of God above all else. Okay? And then please think about that phrase. The word, top priority. The word, first place in our life. The word above all else. We're talking about above anybody else, above anything else. We're going to put God and God's word, and man, that's where we're going to live. Right there where we can hear the Lord speaking. Five things that happen to us when we make the word of God first place and above all else. Some familiar scriptures for you, if you'll turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3 in your New Testament, way over toward the back of it. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And verse 16. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. All scripture is inspired by God. The word inspired means God breathed. God breathed. Peter confirms that idea of the scriptures being God's word, the scriptures being God breathed in 2 Peter chapter 1, if you can find it just real quick. In 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 20, it says, "But know this first of all, that no prophecy of scripture is ever the matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made," and prophecy is prophecy is the revelation of the word of God. Prophecy means more than just predicting the future in this context, okay? We're talking about the revelation of the word of God here. "No prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke for God." And so again, the point is that the word of God, that the Bible is the God-breathed word of the living God. God breathed on men. God moved on men and women, and they wrote down what he wanted said so that we could know it many years later. It's kind of like, you're familiar with the concept of a ghost writer. People who are famous, people who are important, they write an autobiography. I guarantee you, probably 99% of those autobiographists, if that's a word, didn't write their own book. Okay? They may be dictated, they may be wrote some notes, they may be told some stories, but all of them, for the most part, have a ghost writer. Somebody else who actually does the writing for them, and somebody edits it, and then somebody else prints it, and they say, "Oh, look, I wrote a book." Well, it's an autobiography. Well, the Bible is God's autobiography. Only he doesn't have a ghost writer. He has a Holy Ghost writer. And the Spirit of God breathed on men so that they knew what God wanted to say, and they wrote down the revelation that God wanted to give them. And so the Bible is God's word. God's word. And in the Bible, he tells us about himself. It's his autobiography. It's his love letter to you and me. And he tells us all about himself and his ways. He tells us about our relationships with him, his plans for us, what he intends and what he wants from us, and the good things that he has in store for us as his people, his love for all of humanity.
So that by reading and studying the Word of God, reading and studying the Bible, we get to know God more and more. How many of you know that His name is actually called the Word of God? Revelation chapter 19, about verse 13. His name is the Word of God. So God and His Word are one. And when we study the Bible, we're learning about the Creator of the universe. It is the revelation of Himself. So when we read and study the Bible, we learn about God. And brother and sister, if you don't know the Scriptures, if you don't know the Word, you don't know God. You don't know God. Second thing, because the Bible is God's Word, it's given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It is, in effect, listen, it is, in effect, the voice of the Holy Spirit. Now listen to me. The Scriptures are, in effect, because they're God-breathed, they're inspired by the Holy Spirit. These words are the words that the Holy Spirit gave to men and women to write down. This is the voice of the Holy Spirit. You ladies have been going through Bible studies. And the morning study, I think, is through the study. The evening study is still talking about learning how to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, whether you realize it or not, every single one of us has a need to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. We all need to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. There will be decisions that we make in our lives where we will desperately want to know what the will of God is, and we will want to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Where do I go to school? What do I study? What career should I be preparing for? What city should I move in? What person should I marry? All of these kinds of things are life decisions that we need to know what God's plan is in all of these things. I'll tell you another one where I guarantee you, you want to know the voice of God. As a pastor for 40 years, I've had the opportunity to be with several people who had to make end-of-life decisions for families. The most agonizing decision that you have to make in life. The doctors say, I'm sorry. There's just nothing else that we can do. And they're on life support. And now the ball is in your court. What do you do? Do you take off the life support? Do you leave them on and pray for a miracle? What do you do? And I can just tell you from the examples and the people that I've seen having to go through this, the enemy will use this situation to heap guilt and condemnation on you when you have to make that hard decision to let go of that individual and to turn off that life support. You need to know how to hear from God. You need to hear the voice of God in that situation. I tell you what, family, I'll make it easier for you. When my time comes, pull the plug. Pull it. Hey, don't even plug it in. Just bypass the whole thing, all right? But really, we need to hear the voice of the Spirit of God. And there are all kinds of situations when we need to hear God to be sure that we're doing His will at all times. And so, we want to be sure that we're hearing the voice of the Spirit of God. The Bible is filled with the voice of the Holy Spirit. And the more time we spend in the Bible learning the Scriptures, the more we will learn to recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit when He speaks to us inwardly. It's just like with anybody else. The more time you spend with an individual, the easier it becomes for you to recognize their voice. See? The more time you spend with them, the easier it is to recognize their voice. If Becky calls me and Becky says, hey, I need for you to do something. I don't have to look at the phone and go, who is this? No, I know who it is because I've heard her voice over and over. And over and over and over and over. You'll pull that plug now, won't you, baby? No, seriously. It's because we've spent so much time together, you know, I can pull her voice out of a crowd. It's just easy for me to recognize and discern her voice. And the same is true with the Lord. When we spend time with the Lord, we spend time in His Word. We recognize this is God speaking to us in the pages of Scripture, then it's easier for us to recognize when God speaks to us through the person of the Holy Spirit in our heart. We're much more likely to recognize the voice of the Spirit the more time we spend in the Word of God. Third thing that leads to this: hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit, studying the Word of God, will cause our faith to grow stronger and stronger. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And the more we hear it, and the more we hear the Holy Spirit, and the more we fellowship with God in the Scriptures, the more understanding we will have of the Bible, the more understanding we will have of God and His ways, and our faith in the Lord will grow and grow. When we realize that God is not a man and He can't lie, and what He says in this book is absolutely true, and we can count on Him bringing His promises to pass in our lives, then our faith just will grow as a result of that continually spending time in the presence of the Lord. As I shared with you earlier, in our experience, we had a hunger for the Word of God. We began to study the Scriptures together. Our faith began to grow. As a result of our faith growing, we began to see God moving in our lives and doing certain things. And we began to see healings and provision and just the blessing of the Lord was coming to us because we were trusting God day to day to meet our needs. And then we're in the Bible and our faith is growing, and we're seeing the proof of the faithfulness of God and the way He's working in our lives, and our faith just grew that much more. So continuing in the Word of the Lord will help our faith to grow and grow. The Word of God is, and we've shared this on a couple of different occasions now, the Word of God is food for our soul and spirit. Think of it this way. The Word of God is faith food. Faith comes by hearing. The Word of God. The Word of God is faith food. And just like our natural man, listen, if we're going to be strong and healthy naturally, we need to eat a good diet and we need to exercise, okay? Diet and exercise. Diet and exercise. And that will improve our health physically. Well, the same thing is true spiritually. If we'll eat a good, healthy diet of the Word of God, and then the exercise part of it is the obedience to what we hear. When we hear and obey, that's diet and exercise from the spiritual perspective. And it will cause us to grow stronger and be more healthy in the spiritual sense. And so the Word of God is faith food, and will cause our faith to grow. By feeding our heart on the Word of God, fourth thing I'll just share with you, and there are probably a whole lot more than just the five things I want to share with you today, but the fourth thing I want to share with you today, and I want you to look with me at Psalm 119. This will be the last place I'll ask you to turn today. We'll read several passages from this psalm. Psalm 119, I can never remember. Is it 164 or 176 verses? 176 verses. Longest chapter in your Bible. It's broken down into 8 verse segments. Each segment correlates with one of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Okay? And so you have 176 verses, and almost every verse, there are a couple, that don't. But almost every verse in this longest chapter in your Bible, exalts the Word of God. The writer of Psalm 119, and we don't know exactly who it is. There are a couple of different options and choices. But I will say this about him or her. The writer of Psalm 119 gets it where the Word of God is concerned. And this individual loves the Word of God and can't get enough of it because they know this is building up their spiritual life. And look at these things here. Look at Psalm 119 with me and look at verses 23 and 24. When we feed our heart on the Word of God, we grow in wisdom and in knowledge. Psalm 119, verse 23 and 24. Look at this. He says, even though princes sit and talk against me, your servant meditates on your statutes. Your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. He says, even though a prince would sit down and counsel me and say things to me and try to control my life a little bit, give me some counsel about what to do, and I'm messing up and they're trying to, he says, even though a prince would sit and talk with me, I choose to take my counsel from the Word of God. From the Word of God. In other words, he says, God's Word is better counsel than the counsel of even the greatest of men. Okay? And listen, I understand, yeah, we need counseling from one another from time to time, and that needs to come from the place of a relationship with the Lord and from mature people who know how to speak into your life from the position of the Lord. I get that. But he's talking about a contrast between counsel that is godly and counsel that is worldly. And he says the greatest counselor in all the world cannot counsel the way God's Word can counsel me. And I choose to make God's Word my counsel. We've said it before. I make God's Word first place in my life. I let God's Word have veto power in everything in my life. And not the counsel of men. Not the wisdom of men. But rather, the wisdom of the Word of God. We grow, and in wisdom, and in knowledge. Look at Psalm, look at the same Psalm. Look at verses 97, Psalm 119, 97 through 100. I love verse 97 in the beginning of it, and it's throughout this psalm, but he says in the first part of that verse, oh, how I love your law. Most of us cringe at the word law because we don't want anybody making laws for us. We want to be free. But the psalmist recognizes that the laws of God are for his benefit and his favor. And so he says, oh, how I love your law. Lay it on me, God, because I know you always have my best interest at heart and in everything that you're telling me. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged because I have observed your precepts. Notice, by the way, in that passage of scripture, each verse uses a different synonym for the Word of God. Verse 97, it's the law. Verse 98, it's commandment. Verse 99, it's the testimonies. Verse 100, it's precepts. But all of those words are synonyms for the Word of God. Okay? And so he tells us there, once again, that God's Word makes us wiser than anything or anyone else in all the world. And truly, the truly wise seek it and find it, find wisdom in the Word of God. Do you understand today that the quality, listen, the quality of your decisions is what's going to determine the quality of your life. Let me say it to you this way. Right where you're sitting, right now in this moment, you are the sum total of every decision you've made up till now. How's that working out for you? We're the sum total of the decisions and choices that we have made in our lives. A man's decisions will determine the quality of his life. It's why Jesus says, a wise man will build his life on the sure foundation of the Word of God. Fifth thing, and we'll be done. Related to that, by reading and studying, meditating, feeding our heart on the Word of God, we renew our minds to think like God thinks instead of thinking like the world, so that our lives are transformed. Not going to ask you to turn there. I'm just going to ask you to hold on to Psalm 119 and let me see how quickly I can find Romans chapter 12 for you. And verses 1 and 2. Paul writes here and he says, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. J.B. Phillips' translation says, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. You know what I found out about most people? Most people are followers and not leaders. And most people let other people do their thinking for them. And we need to, listen, we need to let God have control of our minds. Not other people, but God needs to be in control of our minds. And the way that He comes into control is when we feed our hearts and feed our minds on the Word of God. And when we do that, our lives are transformed. He said, don't be conformed to the ways of the world. Don't live like the world, act like the world, talk like the world. Rather, He said, let me change your life by you changing the way that you think. And the way that you're going to change the way that you think is that you're going to meditate on my word and learn my ways so that you think my thoughts and live a better life. Did you know that that's actually one of the reasons that God gave the law to the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt? The Israelites had been living in the land of Egypt for over 400 years. They had essentially become completely Egyptianized, if I can make up another word this morning. I like to make up my own words. One day I'll write a dictionary so people can learn what was he saying. But they lived in Egypt. Listen, they lived in Egypt for over 400 years. They weren't allowed to serve the God of Israel while they were down there. They lived among the Egyptian people. They adopted the Egyptian language. They worshiped the Egyptian gods. They lived in the Egyptian culture. This is who they had become after four centuries. So when God sends Moses down and he delivers the people of Israel from Egypt and he gets them out of Egypt, only half of the work is done. Because you see, after he gets them out of Egypt, now he's got to get Egypt out of them. Because just because they've left Egypt doesn't mean they live differently. No, they still live by the way that they were raised. They live by the Egyptian culture, the customs, the gods, all of these kinds of things. And so God gives them the law in order for them to know God's ways so that their minds can be renewed, so that their lives can be transformed. He's trying, it's a continual work. I'll say it this way. It's the continual work of salvation that you and I are experiencing. How many of you know that when you got born again, there maybe were some things about your life that changed? But I guarantee you there's a lot about your life that didn't change even after you got saved. And there is a process that you and I are going through as we journey through this lifetime, this process of sanctification, this process of being set apart, a process of becoming more and more like God. But it is a process. You understand, right? I mean, it didn't happen overnight, and brothers and sisters, it's not always easy. But it's still a process. What's happening? Listen. Just like the Israelites were born in Egypt and born under that culture and raised in that culture, and that's who they were, that's how they live. You and I have been born into a world that is fallen, that is sinful, that is ruled by the enemy. In fact, the Bible tells us that we are born with a sin nature and are, in fact, children of the devil. Some good news for you this morning. You've been delivered from that. That's the good news. But here's the thing. When you became born again, when you came to the revelation that Jesus is the Savior of God and the only way for you to get out of this mess, okay? You receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit comes to live on the inside of you. There's power. There's divine nature. There's new character that's on the inside of you. But that character doesn't automatically, all of a sudden, take over and control every aspect of your life. What has to happen? We've been born into a sinful world. We've been conditioned to live in a certain way by the culture of the world. And what God wants us to do is to take the Word of God and combine it with the Holy Spirit who's dwelling on the inside of us and allow the Word and the Spirit to renew our minds so that we think differently about life and we think about life from God's perspective and we do things God's way and our lives become changed and transformed. We call it the process of sanctification. But again, it's a continual process of being saved. Being saved in our emotions and in our minds and being set free from some ways of thinking, you see. So this is going on in all of us, but when we read and study the Word of God, this is what's happening on the inside of us. God is changing us from the inside out. It starts with the spirit. It continues with the soul, the mind, the will, the emotions. These things must, after we're born again, we must now begin to conform our will and our thoughts to the thoughts of God and to the ways of God. We don't automatically do God's will. We have to be taught and trained to do those things, you see. And we're taught and trained to those things when we renew our minds to the Word of God. Proverbs 23 verse 7 says, "As a man thinks within himself, so is he." As a man thinks within himself, so is he. Listen to me. Even a born-again person, listen. The things that govern your thinking will ultimately govern your living. Even as a born-again person, the things that you give your mind to will ultimately govern the way that you live your life. That's why we have to renew our minds to the Word of God. That's why it's so important we read and study and meditate the scriptures. By renewing our minds, we see things from a different perspective and we learn to live a different way. About sin, for example, you're here in Psalm 119. Look at verses 9, 10, and 11 with me. Here's the process, right here. The process of sanctification, renewing our minds to the Word of God. Verse 9, the psalmist says, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments." Verse 11, "Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I might not sin against you." See, the natural mind wants to go the way of the world and do the polluted things that the world wants to do. But when we feed our mind on the Word of God, we begin to see what is truly right and wrong. Hey, you know, and maybe we were raised in a culture. Let's face it. The nation that we're in, the culture that we're in now, a lot of people are growing up not understanding right and wrong about a lot of things. I've shared with you before that we have come to a place in our culture in America where there is virtually no such thing any longer as sexual immorality. Because everything goes. Whatever you want to do, do it. Make yourself happy. How many of you know who Anton LaVey is? Ever heard that name? Writes the Satanic Bible. You know what the number one commandment in the Satanic Bible is? Do as thou wilt. Do what you want. Be your own God. Go your own way. Has anybody seen that in the world today? It's the way people are living. It's the way people are, and they don't know the difference. They don't know the difference between right and wrong. Because their minds aren't renewed to the Word of God that can teach them, train them. What did Paul say to Timothy? The Word of God, inspired by God, is profitable for training in righteousness. To teach us the difference between what's truly right and wrong. That's what the Word of God does for us. And that's what the psalmist is saying right here. He said, "Your word I have hidden in my heart." My life, I want to go a different way. But you know what I did, God? I put your word into my heart. And now I know the way that I wanted to go is not the right way to go at all. And so I put your word in my heart, so that I might not sin against you. See? So, renewing our minds to the Word of God helps us to know and understand the difference between right and wrong. Look at, you're still here? Look at Psalm 119, verse 105. Familiar verse of Scripture to you, no doubt. It says simply, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path." Your word lights the way for me. Your word shows me the way of light and keeps me from walking in darkness. Look at Psalm, the same Psalm, verse 130. Just a couple more, real quick. Psalm 119, 130. "The unfolding of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." The word of God gives light to us, keeps us from walking in the darkness. And then verse 133. "Establish my footsteps in your word, and do not let iniquity have dominion over me." He said, "God, if you will establish my feet according to your word, sin will no longer rule in my life." And so this is what the word of God does for us. Teaches us the difference between right and wrong. And by the Spirit empowers us to live in righteousness. before God. Just one other thing, real quickly. My time's about up. One other thing that meditating the Word of God does for us, renewing our minds to the Word of God. Most people in our culture these days, most of us, and I put myself in the same category, most of us suffer with what is, from a secular perspective, called low self-esteem. Most people don't feel like their life is of any value. They don't feel like they have any purpose. They don't feel like they're loved. They don't think they're even lovable. All of these kinds of things. And the world just beats us. Start to say snot. Becky doesn't like it when I use words like that. She just shakes her head. But the world just beats the living daylights out of us where things like esteem is concerned and value and importance and significance are concerned. And most people, most Christian people, don't think their lives are really of any value. They don't really serve any purpose. And we struggle with feeling like we have any significance in life whatsoever. I did a series of messages, been almost 30 years ago. I couldn't believe it when I was looking at it. I did a series of messages about 30 years ago. I called it Biblical Self-Esteem. The secret to biblical self-esteem is understanding that it has nothing to do with self whatsoever. It has to do with God's opinion of you. What does God think about you? I'll just share this, just kind of on that topic, not really on my topic today. Best thing, give yourself a gift today. Best gift you can ever give yourself today, stop caring what people think about you. Just stop it. Just stop it. Even if they think good about you, just stop it. Because I guarantee you what's going to happen is, even though they think good about you today, somewhere along the way, you're going to do something that upsets them, and then they're going to think bad about you. And the same ones who talk good about you today will talk bad about you tomorrow. Just stop letting people's opinion matter to you. Only let God's opinion of you matter. Because, brother and sister, the day will come when this life will be over, and we will stand to give an account of this life. And when we stand there, all of those other people who put us down, shot us, stabbed us in the back, caused us to feel miserable about ourselves, not a single one of them will be sitting on that throne for you to give an account to. There's only one who sits there, and that's God. And He's already declared what He thinks about you in the Scriptures. And He loves you so much He gave His Son to die for you. Boy, if that doesn't say it right there, I don't know what else can. He gave His only begotten Son. The Scripture says that God treasures us, that God loves us, that we're the apple of His eye, that we're significant to Him. We have value in His sight. And as I've already said, brother and sister, His opinion is really the only one that matters. And listen, we learn about His opinion of us when we renew our minds to the Word of God and what God says about us in the Scriptures. So renewing our minds will transform our lives, and we will live a better life as a result of it. That's the value, brother and sister. That's the significance. That's the importance. That's the power of the Word of God. And that's why we should put the Word of God first place in our lives, give it top priority, and make it above all else. Let's pray together. Father, how grateful we are today for Your Word. Because of all that it says about You, and all You say about us, all of the truth that it declares, all of the promises that are made. We know that you cannot lie. And if you say it, it's the truth. If you promise it, it'll come to pass. We thank you for it. Help us today, Father, to put the Word of God first place in our lives above all else. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Stay in an attitude of prayer with me for just a few moments, please, before we're dismissed today. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless these people. Father, thank you for these precious people in this room. Thank you for these that you've sent to Victory Christian Fellowship. I pray, Father, that we have not failed you here today, but we've glorified your name. And I pray that we have encouraged all of your saints. I pray that all here today, Father, have been fed the word of the Lord. And I pray that we leave here today full, spiritually full of your word. I pray, Father, that we would indeed give your word first place in our life, make it above all else. Teach us from it, God, that we might know your ways. Open the understanding of the scriptures to our minds, that we might know your plans, that we might know our value in your sight. Thank you, God. That you can make a difference in our lives today. If we will surrender our lives to you. Stand together with me. Stay in an attitude of prayer just one more moment. We're almost ready to dismiss. While you're in an attitude of prayer, as we're closing our service this morning, let me ask you this. Is there one here today? Maybe today in a new way. Maybe it's happened before. Maybe it's not. But today, a light has come on. And you recognize the value and the significance of the Word of God like maybe never before. You really want to be that person who loves the law and faithfully feeds their heart. on the Word of God. And maybe you're already there. Maybe all of you are. Praise God for that. But maybe a light has come on to someone here today who hasn't been faithful in this particular area of their life, but you really want to be today. And while we're in an attitude of prayer with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you're here this morning, you'd like for me to pray for you, to be faithful to the study of the Scriptures, that you might grow in grace and in the knowledge of the truth. Would you raise your hand this morning? Praise God. Praise God all over. Amen. 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 You can put your hands down. Thank you, Father, for these today who have experienced a renewed hunger in their hearts for you and for your word. We've seen the power of it. We've experienced the difference the word can make. We want to walk in the ways of the Lord. We want our lives to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ continually. So, Father, we ask you today, by the power of your Holy Spirit, would you empower us and would you remind us and even prod us toward a more faithful study of the Scriptures, that we might grow in this spiritual journey and that our lives might be transformed so that the light truly does shine from within us and our lives glorify you. Father, I pray that prayer over all of us today. I pray that we will all live lives that make a difference and that touch somebody else's life so they can know you too. We love you, God. We love you, God, and we're recognizing our purpose here today. Would you be so kind as to fulfill it in us and accomplish in us that which concerns us according to the promise of your word. I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And now, Father, I thank you again for every person you brought to our little church today. God, thank you so much. It's such a blessing to Becky and I when these precious people come to this church to fellowship and to worship and study the word together with us. Would you watch over and keep them in the week that's ahead? Would you bless them coming in and going out, rising up and sitting down? Would you bless everything they set their hand to as they seek you with all their heart and make the quality decision to live in obedience to your word? Watch over and keep us, Father. Use us for your glory. It's always our prayer, and we thank you for answering it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's sing about revival again, and we're going to sing about it till it happens. Let's sing as we close our service this morning. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for being with us today. Have a great day.